The Scourge of Antisemitism. What the fuck that's about? Definition of scourge. 1. A person or thing that causes great trouble or suffering. Check, check, check. 2. A whip used as an instrument of punishment. Doesn't get any clearer than that. Whip those motherfucking Jews into submission. I have wrestled with today's topic, antisemitism, for 70 of my 80 years on this here planet we call Earth. I apologize to my dear Joyster, my protector, for not being able to heed her advice to hold the topic lightly. For me, that's impossible. Maybe I could blame my genetic code given to me by my parents and Hashem, God. My first introduction to the fucking insanity of antisemitism when I was about 10 years old. My sister and I discovered the black book in my parents' bookcase. And this is a quote. Prepared in 1946 by the Jewish Black Book Committee, it is an indictment of the Holocaust and documentation of evidence submitted at the Nuremberg trials against the Nazis for war crimes against the Jewish people. End quote. The 7 sections of the book are explained in the Wikipedia article, The Black Book, The Nazi Crimes Against the Jewish People. And of course, just enough photos to remain indelible to my cranium and be tattooed to my brain. I'm sure you all have seen them. I'd venture to say those who disclaim the Holocaust never happened have seen them also, probably decrying fake media. My second personal experience of antisemitism occurred when my 11-year-old son came home distraught because a classmate had stuck a disparaging sign, Jew, on his back. A meeting of both families and the principal occurred because my wife would not let this incident be ignored. We try to call attention to this antisemitic event in the hope of raising consciousness. My third revelation into the depths of this insanity happened when I was about 60. We had just moved to a small town in the foothills of North Carolina. While I was waiting for Joyce in a doctor's office, a woman came over and asked what church we went to. I shared we were Jews and attended a temple. She then proceeded to tell me that unless I take Jesus as my personal savior, I'm going to hell. She did not represent small-town friendly. My life of constantly wrestling with man's inhumanity to man has never abated. Too bad for you, motherfucker. As I shared in my podcast on tolerance, white supremacists, anti-immigrant groups, anti-government groups are certainly not a new phenomenon. On March 4th, 1985, 38 years ago, Newsweek's article titled Violence on the Right expressed the exact same attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors which are alive, well, and growing in our great nation, fuck tolerance. Here's a quote from the article that has slithered into today's current headlines. The extermination, here's the quote, the extermination of the white race is the goal of our adversaries, end quote. The founder of the neo-Nazi group Aryan Nations, Richard G. Butler, preached this gospel over 38 years ago. Robert Bowers, who killed 11 congregants at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, October 2018, also expressed Christian identity rhetoric. The evidence proved Bowers acted because of white supremacist, anti-Semitic, and bigoted views. He also included the numeric code 1488 in the header image of his Gab social media account. For those not aware of the two slogans of 1488 used by militant white nationalists as a rallying cry internationally, you're in store for a fucking treat. The primary slogan is the 14 words, and I quote, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children," end quote. The secondary slogan is also 14 words. And to get the right flow, I'm going to read the first 14 words first, and then I'll include the second. Again, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth," end quote. The 88, used by some as shorthand for Heil Hitler, H being the eighth letter in the alphabet. I would love to meet the brilliant fuck who invented, figured out, devised the replacement theory about Jews wanting immigrants to flood our country to make white people extinct. I'd give my fucking left nut to see all the scientific data and research the inventor did to come up with such a fucking screed. The believers in such a theory must have always been Jew lovers who saw the light and recanted when viewing such damning statistics. The Jew scapegoat has resurfaced in the body of Soros-like individuals who shapeshift their way to usurping the white man's power. Now, please pay attention to the following. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Maybe if all the fucking stiff-necked motherfucking Jews converted to Christianity, they could convince the worried whites they're not a threat and therefore be declared 100% white as Wonder Bread, Ivory Soap, or a winter wonderland snowfall. Tell us, Ralph. What do you really think? Although Elon Musk apologized through the media for his support of the November 15, 1923 anti-Semitic tweet on X by saying, and I quote, "Might be literally the worst and dumbest post I've ever done. I'm sorry for that post. It was foolish of me," end quote. I challenge him to also inform his 167.4 million followers on X. By sharing this on his site, it would validate his sincerity that he is not in any way anti-Semitic, and his followers might either, one, look at their own anti-Semitism, or two, claim that he only did it to appease those fucking Jews who control the media, Hollywood, and finance with their bags of Benjamins. Elon, you have the power to help stop the perpetuation of the stereotypical vision of a Jew. Elon, how about a little help for my friends? How about asking your 167.4 million to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and love a Jew a day? Let's take an abbreviated stroll down memory lane for over 2,000 years of Jew hatred, Judenhass, the term used before the scientific sounding word of antisemitism was introduced by Wilhelm Marr in 1879. More about that soon. Jewish deicide, the numero uno, number one cause of Jew hatred. This comes from Matthew 27:24-25. Pilate washed his hands and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." And the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." And I'm going to quote by this scholar, Amy Jill Levine, scholar and professor of the New Testament, and I'm quoting her. She points to Matthew 27:24 as the passage which has caused more suffering throughout Jewish history That is the belief that Jews as a people were collectively responsible for the killing of Jesus, the Jews being the embodiment of absolute evil. Blood libel. As we wend our way back in time through Mr. Peabody's way back machine, we view the hundreds of years Jews were massacred due to the false allegation that they used the blood of Christian children for ritual purposes, especially close to Passover, that when they were charged with using the blood to bake matzah. Fact. Jewish dietary laws, kashrut, forbid the consumption of blood in food and require all blood to be drained from slaughtered animals before consumption. Here's a fucking great idea of mine. How about a great matzah bake-off? I call on all Jews in the diaspora to send in their family's recipe for matzah. How much blood should be used? Teaspoon, tablespoon, a cup, a half a cup, a few drops, a gallon for large batches. What type? AB or O, RHD positive or negative. In total, 8 blood groups. How long do you bake it for? And of course, at what temperature? Why the fuck would any sane person believe Jews would use the blood of Christian children? Host desecration. Thousands of Jews from 1215 to 1631 were massacred at the stake by fire or sword because it was alleged they stole the host to break it, boil it, or stick it with needles or knives so that it would bleed. Poisoning wells. Jews blamed for causing the plague called the Black Death, which began in 1341. Again, Jews were the scapegoats and murdered. Devil Jew, Moses with horns. Too bad the Latin scholar working for the church didn't ask a Jew how to translate the word Karen, meaning radiator, beaming, or the word Karen, meaning horn. The same word, without vowels in the Torah, could have both meanings, but of course the fucking brilliant know-it-all scholar used the Latin word canuta, meaning horn, not plural horns, and certainly not the true meaning, shining like a ray of light. Try to imagine Moses, after being with God for 40 days and 40 nights, marching down Mount Sinai with horns. I would imagine the honor of being with God and receiving all 613 commandments, mitzvah, was so powerful as to have Moses overflowing with gratitude and his aura so full of light. Michelangelo in his famous sculpture of Moses elected to showcase the Jew with horns. I'm sure I'm not the only fucking Jew who came to the brilliant conclusion that this statue is the embodiment of the proverbial devil Jew, the brilliant work of art that keeps on giving. The Merchant of Venom. After rereading The Merchant of Venice in 1984, I changed the Signet Classic Edition's front cover to read, "Shakespeare is the Merchant of Venom. The Jew Shylock is the most hideous character ever devised by a man." They call it a comedy because Shylock was forced to be baptized and be a Christian. Well, how funny is that? Like a fucking Happy Meal at Mickey D's. And I'm quoting now from Spark Notes. Quote, "Shakespeare's contemporaries, the majority of whom assumed that the eternal damnation was the fate of any non-Christian, would have witnessed Shylock's conversion as a vital contribution to the play's happy ending. By turning Shylock into a Christian, the Venetians satisfied themselves with their own kindness in saving the soul of a heathen." End quote. Brother Shakespeare made this play a happy meal for all his contemporaries. Just take a fucking millisecond to think what this play did for the cause of anti-Semitism since its inception in the year 1596-97. the Passion Play. In 1634, as thanks for a plague leaving Oberammergau, and I stand to be corrected in the pronunciation, in Germany, the town put on a Passion Play every 10 years. They portrayed Jews as Christ killers and priests with horns. The who's who of world movers and shakers attended the performances, from kings and queens and presidents. Even Signor Hitler attended twice, once in 1930 and once in 1934. He validated the small-c Christian doctrine and the values the play portrayed. Following the play's 1934 performance, Hitler proclaimed, and I quote, "Never has the menace of Jewry been so convincingly portrayed," end quote. The plaintive cry of white supremacists that Jews will not replace us was chanted at Charlottesville Unite the Right rally on August 12, 2017. No truer statement could ever have been made when currently there are 2.3 billion adherents to Christianity, totaling 31%. For Judaism, there are 15 million Jews in total, coming in at a whopping 0.18%. Big C's and little C's. In my not-so-humble opinion, little C's believe that unless Jews take Jesus as their personal savior, they are going to hell. Certainly not good deeds or good actions could save them. They believe Jews are devils, even though you can't see their horns. Big C's. Most of my friends are Christian, and all are big C's. They do not spend time thinking about or give a fuck whether I get into heaven or not. They care of themselves. They take care of themselves. I believe they try to emulate what Jesus stood for. Big C's love me for who I am, respect me for who I am, and want the best for me. The biggest C Christian in my eyes is Jesus. All religions have little and big followers, no exception for Jews. Jews cringe when little J's like Madoff, Weinstein, and Epstein cast such a negative shadow upon all other Jews. Antisemitism has been called history's oldest hatred. The Catholic theologian Rosemary Ruther observed, and I quote, "The mythical Jew who is the eternal, conspiratorial enemy of Christian faith, spiritually and redemption, was shaped to serve as the scapegoat for the ills of secular industrial society," end quote. In 1879, Wilhelm Marr, known as the father of modern antisemitism, started the Anti-Semites League. And this is the following is a quote taken from the JewishVirtualLibrary.org, and I quote, "He could have used the conventional German term Judenhass, Jew hatred, to refer to his hatred of Jews, but that way of speaking carried religious connotations that Ma wanted to de-emphasize in the favor of racial ones, apparently more scientific. His words caught on. Eventually, it became a way of speaking about all forms of hostility toward Jews throughout history. In June 1862, the satirist Julius Stettenheim published in Hamburg a four-page lampoon with the title Jew Eater, Judenfresser. My closing message in this extremely difficult episode to write is, my heart and brain are most distressed, hurt, angered, and bordering on hopeless for me and my Jewish brothers and sisters. No, we have not been wiped out yet, but how do we stop it from happening? How do we convince our detractors, our enemies? We are not born of evil. Our hearts are not evil. Our brains are not evil. Our existence on this here terra firma is not evil. To this end, I propose to my Jew friends, my Christian friends, my Muslim friends, no more use of the term anti-Semitism or Jew hatred, Judenhass. From now on, today on, we must use the term Jew eaters, Judenfressers. They want to take a bite out of us, chew us up, spit us out, and kill us all. And with that heavy-duty shit, I will close with a favorite prayer. Give us great dreams, O God, while thou art giving, and keep the end. It's enough if we live by the hope, nor falter in the living that lures us on from dust to dignity. Thank you for your time.